Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and open them up to the 103rd Psalm. 103rd Psalm. I want to start with the first five verses tonight, and then we'll look at some other scripture. But as I mentioned Sunday, tonight, we're not going to talk about Ezra, but I want to talk to you about the four stages of thanksgiving. And these are progressive stages. You go from 1 to 2, and then 2 to 3, and then 3 to 4. And I think God would have us all get to stage 4. In our thanksgiving. And again, I would just ask you tonight to listen and identify where you are. And if you're not all the way over to stage 4, move there. Move there. So if you have your Bibles, Psalm 103 says in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." So, you know, sometimes we sing the song, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." We need to have that idea in our prayer life, that we want to become more of a prayer warrior. We want to learn what it is to pray and pray more and more and more and more. We need to have that thought in our witnessing, that, again, as we cross people's path that needs to know Jesus, as he brings them across our path, that we be more and more faithful to share the gospel. We need to do that in our giving. Just need to make progress and be a more giving person. And we need to do that in our thanksgiving. We need to just keep making progress and being a thankful kind of person. And so again, the four stages of thanksgiving, you might say, "Well, preacher, why are you giving us the first one?" And the first one is this: not giving thanks. Why are you giving us this one? Because I want you to see what the Bible says about ungrateful people. And I want you to see what God says about people that are not thankful, what God thinks of them. As a way of encouraging you, if you're in stage 2 or stage 3, a way of encouraging you to go ahead and move up a level. So, not giving thanks, not taking the time, not exerting the effort to see God as God, to notice what he's done, to notice what he's kept you from, to notice how God has worked in your life. And again, not, and there are some people that notice those things, but never make the effort to thank God for them. Now, I could use a lot of words to describe people like that. I think they're rude. I think they're impolite. I think they're mean. And I think you could probably add other words to that list. But God has some pretty harsh things to say about people that are ungrateful. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, here's what the Bible says: "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Again, we talked Sunday about the basis for our thanks is knowing that God is God. And Paul says, here's a group of people that knew God was God, but they were not thankful for the way that God worked in their life. And we won't take the time to read it tonight, but if you are familiar with Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2, you see what unthankful people, where their life ends up. I mean, if you read Romans chapter 1, it describes a group of people that none of us here would want to be a part of. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just take my word. We do not want to be a part of the group that's mentioned in Romans chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let me just read some verses from there where the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so look at the group of people, the description of the group of people that God includes the unthankful in. Again, a group, none of those characteristics are characteristics that any Christian would want to be described by. And so we ask, and again, I don't think anybody here tonight is in stage number one, but again, I just share it with you to remind you what God thinks of unthankful people, of people that don't notice. If they notice, they don't take the time to say thank you for God. And if by chance you are in this group, then get out in a hurry. Get out in a hurry. Being thankful is a choice. We talked about it a little bit in our Sunday school lesson on Sunday. Being thankful is a choice that we make. Choose to be thankful. I remember when I was going to school in Lafayette, Indiana, and I was the song leader at the church that we were going to. And oftentimes the pastor would invite us over for lunch. And he had a little four-year-old son. In fact, he had four-year-old twins. Mark and John, they were Bible names. But I can remember little Mark, 4 years old, every time we sat down for lunch, without exception, we get about halfway through and he'd say, "Mama, this is the best lunch you ever made me. I am so grateful for this lunch." And if a little four-year-old can choose to be thankful, so can we. So again, by chance, if you're in this group, and again, I don't think anybody here tonight is, but get out of it in a hurry. Learn and choose to be thankful. All right, the second stage of thanksgiving is those that thank God for good things. Those that are grateful for God for good things. Now, again, the word good is a relative term. We use our limited earthly judgment to put things in a good or a bad category. And the second stage of thanksgiving is when we thank God for those things in our life that we categorize as good. We read some of those things in Psalm 103. God's forgiven us of our iniquities. God heals us from our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He fills our mouth with good things and renews our youth like the eagles. Every single one of those are good things that we as Christians can thank God for. And every Christian can find some good things, some things that he has described or has determined is good to thank God for. Some of those things you mentioned tonight in your testimonies. We can thank God that we were born in the United States of America, or that we live in the United States of America. I still think it's the greatest country on earth. Again, we have problems, and we're not perfect, but I would rather live here than anywhere else. We could thank God for our families, and many of you did that tonight. We can thank God for our health. We can thank God for the opportunities that he gives us. We can thank God that we can freely worship in this country. And so we ought to again choose and decide that, again, if this is a stage of thanksgiving we're in, we are going to thank God for the good things that he has put in our life. And again, every person here tonight, if you tried, you can come up with a long list of the good things that God has put in your life. Be thankful for those good things. Now, there's many people that dwell at this level of thanksgiving. And again, it's better than being in the first stage, but it's not as good as being in the third stage and the fourth stage. So let me tell you what the third stage is. Thanking God in the midst of bad things. Okay? Again, the term bad is a relative term. I mean, again, we use our judgment, our earthly judgment, our short-sighted judgment to put things in the good category and the bad category. But in the bad category are things that if we had a vote, we'd never let them into our life. If we could shut the door and never let them into our life, we would shut the door. We would say, hey, I don't want this in my life. I don't need it in my life. I just assume it wasn't in my life. The circumstances that come into our life that cause pain, heartache, or distress, where we hurt, or worse yet, where somebody we love hurts. Most of us are alike in this way. We would just as soon hurt ourselves as opposed to see somebody that we love hurt. We would rather take the hurt on ourselves as opposed to see our spouse or our children or our grandchildren hurt. And the third stage of Thanksgiving says, in the midst of these undesirable, unwanted circumstances, I'm going to thank God. I'm going to thank God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will for our life. This is what this is something that we can do in our life that pleases God. That in the midst of these undesirable circumstances, that we thank God. Now, let me tell you how most of us do it in this stage. It's like the preacher who comes to church on a cold, snowy Sunday morning. Half the members have stayed home. The other half are mad at him because he didn't call off the services. And so he gets up and says, Lord, I am thankful that it's not always like this. That's too many times. We're thankful in this third stage of Thanksgiving, just like that. All right, now let's move to the fourth stage. And again, this is where I think God wants every Christian to get. Thanking God, not in the midst of bad things, but thanking God for all things, good and bad. Not in the midst. Not just saying, hey, in the midst of all these, I'm not going to thank you for the circumstances, Lord, but I'm going to thank you that you're going to get me through them. I'm going to thank you that, you know, that you're going to help me endure them. But the fourth stage says, in all, and let me just read it, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for, not in, but for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the basis for this stage of Thanksgiving is realizing that God is God. That He knows what He is doing. That He reigns in our life. He's like the sentry of our life. He's like the guard of our life. No, listen to me. Nothing comes into your life unless God allows it. Say, now, preacher, how can that be? There's been a lot of bad things happen in my life. Yeah, bad from our standpoint. Things that we wouldn't choose. But again, God's God. He knows what He's doing. And nothing comes into our life unless He allows it. And when He allows it, He has a purpose. And His purpose is good. It may not be good for us, but it's good for somebody. And His purpose is good. Romans 8:28, many people read that verse. For all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And they say, well, everything that God allows in my life works together for good for me. Well, that's not what that verse says. It just says it works for good to them that love the Lord. And so this stage is represented by Job. Again, not at the beginning of the book, but at the end of the book. If you went back to Job in the first few chapters of Job chapter 1 and said, Job, do you think it was good that the Sabians came and stole your oxen and your asses and killed all your servants? Job would say, no, I don't think it's good at all. Job, do you think it was good that fire came from heaven and burned up your sheep and servants? And Job in the first few chapters of the book would say, no. It's not good at all. Job, do you think it's good that the Chaldeans came and sold your camels and killed your servants? And again, in the first and second chapter of Job would say, no, I do not think that was good. Job, do you think it was good that the wind came down and blew down your oldest son's house and killed all 10 of your children? No. I don't think that's good. Do you think it's good that your wife told you to curse God and die because of what God did to you? And Job would say, no, that's not good. But then you go back to the end of the book of Job, chapter 41, chapter 42. And you hear Job say, God, I didn't understand it. I didn't know what you were doing. I thought I knew you, but I didn't. I didn't know you. I couldn't see the end like you could. I couldn't see what you were trying to accomplish. All I could see were the problems and the heartaches along the way. But now I can say that I know you, and I trust you that you know what you're doing. I love cornbread. Patty hadn't quite got the hang of it yet. She's working on it. But both of my grandmothers could make good cornbread. And I'd be in the kitchen, and I'd see them take the flour and the cornmeal and the baking soda and the salt and the eggs and the buttermilk. None of those things taste good by themselves. None of them. I mean, can you imagine eating flour? I mean, some people like buttermilk, but I've never liked buttermilk by itself. But, and again, I would never eat any of those individual ingredients on their own, because to me, they all taste bad. But when you mix them up and cook them, I love cornbread. I mean, I like it with chicken and dumplings. I like it with honey. I like it when it's warm with just butter. I like putting it in milk and eating it like mush. I mean, I don't know whether you guys like cornbread or not. But when you think of the individual ingredients, you would say there's nothing good that could come out of these things. Absolutely nothing good. They all taste terrible. Just like sometimes we look at the circumstances in our life and we say, there's nothing, absolutely nothing good that can come out of these circumstances because they're all bad. They all cause heartaches. If I had a vote, I wouldn't let none of them in my life. And some of you tonight, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're going through some things like now, right now, that if you had a vote, you would say, no, I don't want this in my life. You'd be like Paul. You'd ask God to take it away. And you just don't want any part of it. But let me just remind you tonight, God is God. He knows what he's doing, and he can mix the circumstances of our life together to make it come out good. To make it come out good. Now, we can't see the end of it yet. All we can see are the circumstances. All we can see are the distasteful things. All we can see are the things that we wish wasn't there. But when it gets to the end, when God accomplishes what he's trying to accomplish in our life, in our family's life, in the life of our church, in the world, when God gets to the end of trying to accomplish what he's going to accomplish, by all these things that we wouldn't vote for, we wouldn't let into our life if we had the choice, we'd slam the door and say, no, I don't want you in my life. There's no way I'm letting you in. But when we say to God, you're God, you know what you are doing. And even though I do not understand why all this has come into my life, I'm going to trust you that you have a purpose. Amen. That you have a purpose for it. I can't even see the purpose. I don't even know what you're trying to accomplish. But I trust that you know what you're doing. And I'm going to thank you, not only in the midst of those bad things, I'm going to thank you for those bad things. Amen. And I'm going to thank you for the good things. And I'm going to notice, and I'm going to make the choice and make the effort to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, because I trust you as God that you know what you're doing. So, get to this stage. Don't be in stage one. If you're in stage one, get out of there as quick as you can. You don't want to be associated with those people that are ungrateful. And if you're only thanking God for the good things, well, move to thanking God in the midst of the bad things. And if you're thanking God in the midst of the bad things, move to that stage where you thank God for the bad things and the good things. Giving thanks in all things. All right, I think Adam and Janice are going to lead us in a song before we're dismissed tonight.